The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Good morning, happy 4th of July, and welcome to live online worship with St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York. Today is the last Sunday that we will have morning prayer from the rectory, hopefully, if not for a very long time, maybe even forever. And we continue to make our way forward into the new normal for worship at St. James.
From the book of Mark, chapter 6. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I have a question for you this morning. What do you expect to happen in your relationship with God? I ask that because we read Psalm 123 this morning, and in that psalm, the writer and the people clearly expected to receive God's mercy. They've been having some kind of trouble, they're weary, and they look to God. They complain, in fact, to God, expecting that God will give them mercy. Well, what exactly is mercy? One kind of mercy is forgiveness. Rescue is another kind of mercy. But God's mercy is bigger than that. God's mercy comes to us when we can't help ourselves, and God reaches out as if it were across the gap and pulls us close, pulls us near, and cares for us. So this morning, I ask you, in your relationship with God, do you expect God's mercy? I think many of us expect that when we come to church, we'll receive comfort or peace, inspiration or nourishment. But I'm not really asking you what you expect when you come to church. That's one part of your relationship with God. What I'm asking this morning is, what do you expect day in and day out? Not just on Sunday, but all the days of the week. What do you expect will happen in your relationship with God? For many of us, I think what we expect will happen in our relationship with God is a lot like what happened in our relationship with our parents. If our parents were wise and loving and supportive, it's very likely that's how we envision God. If our parents were harsh or impatient and quick to punish us, that's what we imagine we'll receive in our relationship with God. The worst thing that my mother could say to me when I was growing up was, I'm so disappointed in you. It was an awful feeling of having really messed up. And I have to say that that's one of the things that shaped my early relationship with God, that fear of disappointing God, and quite honestly imagining that a lot of the time I did. So I want you to picture something. In one hand, hold out your expectations of your relationship with God, perhaps ones that you have held since childhood. And then in the other hand, hold these texts that we read this morning. And what we're going to do is allow them to speak to each other, to inform each other. We already know that the psalmist and his community expected God to be merciful. They expected God would draw them close when they were in need. When we look at the reading from Ezekiel, it seems as if the Israelites didn't expect much from God at all. They just did whatever they wanted, as if it didn't really matter. They were rebellious and stubborn and impudent. That's a great word. I think of impudence as someone with a smart mouth. I saw a question on Facebook a while back. Did you ever talk back to your mother? Yes. Once. And I got hauled into the bathroom and a bar of Ivory soap put in my mouth. Do you know what Ivory soap tastes like? It is a really good cure for a smart mouth. Well, it seems like the Israelites didn't expect God to do anything about their rebellion. They just kept on doing what they wanted for generations, even after their nation was overrun by a powerful enemy from the north, and many of them were carried off into exile. But God did do something. God came to Ezekiel with a powerful vision. So powerful that Ezekiel fell to the ground in awe. And while Ezekiel is lying there, God says, "Hey, mortal." Don't you love that? Kind of puts things in perspective. "You, mere human, stand up." But it was God's spirit that jolts Ezekiel upright. It wasn't Ezekiel that got up. And in the conversation that follows, God gives Ezekiel a mission, a role in God's grand scheme for the world. So remember the two hands that we have in dialogue with each other. This hand is the story of Ezekiel. And what happens between God and Ezekiel shows us that we might expect that in our relationship with God, God will seek us out and speak to us and give us a purpose for our lives. I wonder if that's what you expect in your relationship with God. So then let's look at Mark. There's a parallel here. Jesus comes back to his hometown, Skinny Atlas, Auburn, Camillus. He does some absolutely remarkable things. He teaches with astonishing wisdom. He lays hands on people and heals them. You would think that his friends and neighbors would be awed and amazed and filled with gratitude. But no, they are instead offended. So what does Jesus do? Well, if it were me, I would be pretty bummed. I might quit, at least for a while. But not Jesus. Jesus actually goes big. He commissions 12 disciples to take the show on the road, expanding the reach of his ministry to more and more people. So according to this story, what we might expect in our relationship with God is that no matter what, God just keeps on reaching out. And in fact, when the going gets tough, God picks up the pace. I wonder if you expect the same in your relationship with God. But there's more. These two passages from Ezekiel and Mark show us something else that God consistently does. God sends prophets. All through history, God is still sending prophets. I think of William Barber and the Poor People's Campaign. I think of Nadia Boltz Weber and her church, the House for All Sinners and Saints. Closer to home, I think of Rhoda Overstreet Wilson, who spoke to St. James Racial Justice and Reconciliation Commission a couple weeks ago. God sends prophets. And those prophets come to bring about change, to change people's hearts, to change our attitudes, to change our behavior. And the word for that is transformation. God sends prophets to bring about transformation. Transformation of individuals and transformation of communities. So the real question might be, in your relationship with God, do you expect transformation? Do you expect God to change you? The Center for Action and Contemplation sends out a daily meditation authored by Richard Rohr. And last Sunday, he wrote about his own transformation that was dramatically impacted by a series of lectures that he gave in his early ministry. He introduced that series with these words. We begin a great adventure. We begin something new. The promise is upon us. God will give us something new. All we have to come with is hunger. We have to come expecting and wanting something more than we already have now. We get what we expect from God. When we have new ears to hear with, God can speak a new word to us. God now wants to speak something new to us. End of quote. When we come to God with hunger, expecting something new, something more, we can expect to be changed. If you were here a couple weeks ago, you know that Marie Hughes has taken vows as a Benedictine novice in the Companions of St. Luke. Two others from St. James, Michael Brown and Pam Stewart, are preparing to take vows in the Third Order of the Society of St. Francis. Marie and Michael and Pam are going to do a sermon dialogue with me at the end of August. And one of the things I think we will hear is what it was like for them to turn to God with their hunger and to be changed. Two other fellow parishioners have taken a 2-year program called the Living School through the Center for Action and Contemplation. That experience of delving deeper into their relationship with God has been life-changing. St. James also has had half a dozen people go through the Horizons program at the Spiritual Renewal Center in Syracuse to be trained as spiritual directors. The purpose of all of these endeavors is a deeper relationship with God. And what happens in the process is transformation. There was a group of people, Jesus' closest associates, that we know as the disciples. The word disciple actually means learner. When people followed Jesus, they were, as Richard Rohr said, expecting and wanting something more. One of the realities, one of the gifts for followers of Jesus is that we can look back over the last months or years and actually see how we have been changed by God. So what is it that you expect in your relationship with God? Rest assured that God is gracious and generous, always willing and ready to give us something new, something more, so that we will be changed. And when that happens, the world has changed. Amen. Thank you.
wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.